Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
I don't know what kind of spirit this show is going to be in today. I like Halloween, but I got some real issues today to get into. We, of course, will intro the lamest discussion in all of Sports Talk Radio. You lazy mother... The candy discussion. I'll give it about 2 minutes in the 4 o'clock hour. But I do have a lot of questions today, Greg Salerno, about handing out candy.
Yes.
And how far I can push my sexy outfit tonight, because I'm going to sexy something.
Are you?
So we'll get into that.
Okay.
But as we come out of the gates, first of all, Griffin, how are you, buddy?
I'm feeling festive.
No time. That's it. No time.
No time at all. Happy Halloween. Nope. I'll just get that one in.
We had a whole pep talk yesterday, Greg.
Yes.
With Griffin. When the show starts, we are ready. There's no hello. You don't need to know where we are. There's not how you doing. I slip, and then Griff slips even further by not responding.
I see.
Start the show over again. Replay the open.
Got to just get straight to it. Give the people what they're here for.
Exactly. Opinions and anger. And happiness. And food talk. And some picks. All that stuff. Yeah, and I'm doing it again. Doing it again. I'm concerned for you because you do have your Yankee hat on.
Yeah.
You sent over a prep list. It was absolutely empty in terms of baseball topics.
Yeah.
Nothing. Not a damn thing.
I don't really like baseball anymore.
Mateo knows what he's doing. Mateo's running the show along with Jake. Mateo's like, oh, did you see the blue D on the Hollywood sign?
Yeah.
I'm like, like, what's Greg going to do?
You know what, though? I actually knew they were going to lose before the series started, so I'm not really that upset.
Yeah, but you thought that in April. They made it.
Yeah, well, they made it and lost. So, I mean, it's guaranteed they were going to lose, so whatever.
It's guaranteed they were going to lose.
I've been watching this since 2009 now, them losing every single time they have a chance, and I knew once they got in there that Judge wasn't going to – whoever their best hitter is doesn't hit in the playoffs. It always happens, every single time. A-Rod did it one time in 2009 is when they won. Otherwise, he sucked in the playoffs. Every time they get a big deal, Randy Johnson sucked in the playoffs when they got him, and he was supposed to be the, you know, he was 50 at the time. But whoever they pick up who's a big signing always sucks in the playoffs. They choke every single time.
Wow.
The coach sucks. Cashman's terrible. The new owner's terrible.
He made it to the World Series.
Yeah, he made it to the World Series through probably the weakest thing they had ever had to go through.
Wow.
You know, so, yeah. They're terrible.
In 6 minutes, I'll spend some time asking you what they can do to fix things to get over the top. I don't feel real enthusiastic that you have laid out a plan of optimism.
Yeah, I mean, they would have to change owners, GMs, coach, and probably half the roster.
So, okay. Yeah. Well, let's concentrate on what the Dodgers did.
Yes.
First of all, what did they do? Why were the Dodgers better in the World Series, Craig? By the way, that's Greg Salerno. I'm Steve Cofield.
Yes.
Didn't do that part. Griffin's here. Circa Las Vegas. Stadium Swim. So why are the Dodgers better than the Yankees right now?
The biggest reason, I mean, there's a million reasons I can get to, but the biggest reason, I think, honestly, is that Dave Roberts is a better coach than Aaron Boone.
Which is an incredible proclamation.
Yes.
Because the Dodger fans ripped Dave Roberts to shreds.
Yeah, but
which I think is a norm when, like, our teams and organizations that we like are all at different levels. And when you're low level, you kind of just look for, like, the basics. Let's just get to 500, compete for the playoffs.
Sure.
When you're supposed to win the title every year, when those are the expectations, the manager gets skewered any year he doesn't win it. And, like, right after the game, they're like, great job by Dave Roberts.
Yeah.
And as I'm sitting there, I'm like, yeah, he did a pretty good job. You know who did a really good job? The players.
That's true.
Like, I mean, how much does a baseball manager really do? Can be part of the examination today. Is Dave Roberts that much better than Aaron Boone?
I don't know if it's Dave Roberts being so great. I mean, Freeman obviously was on fire, and he's, you know, clutch and all that stuff. But Aaron Boone in the first game, when he took out Gerrit Cole for Nestor, who hadn't pitched in a month, who was injured, who hasn't had any rehab. I mean, give me a break. And even after the game, Derek Jeter, and I know, you know, a lot of times I say the same thing. We're like, not every guy knows everything when after the game. Like, okay, the player's being emotional. But Derek Jeter was every Yankee fan after the game. We all knew. We're like, oh, that was serious. There you go. Thanks, Aaron Boone. What the hell was that? You had a bullpen that came in on fire. They gave up zero runs in the first series. They had a couple, you know, hiccups in the ALCS, but they still made it through. You have a bullpen that's on fire, and then you bring in Nestor, who hasn't pitched in a month, to ruin the entire series. If I'm Gerrit Cole, I'm asking for a trade either today or tomorrow. I mean, after what happened yesterday and then what happened in the first game, I mean, get me out of here. I mean, I don't belong on this team of losers. That's what I would be thinking if I'm Gerrit Cole.
I think the collapse last night to give up the 5-0 lead.
Yeah.
What happened in that scenario is what the Dodgers are good at and what the Yankees are not good at. And the Yankees, unfortunately, and I think Cashman is a guy to blame. I think you can build a baseball team differently when you have all that money. And it doesn't have to be rotisserie baseball. It
right.
doesn't have to be a fantasy baseball team.
Right.
And listen, I don't have anything against Aaron Judge defensively because he's pretty solid. But does he need to play center field? And that drop fly ball is not because he's playing center field. He dropped it. You know, brain fart. They don't cover first. You get Volpe, who's okay. He's got to get a lot better defensively. He botches it. But defensively, in the series, who was a better team?
Oh, the Dodgers.
And we watch baseball, and we're like, oh, they need sluggers, and you need power arms at the top of the rotation. I think what the Dodgers do is perfect.
Well, yeah, you know, and it's another thing, going back to Dave Roberts, what's Dave Roberts most famous for before coaching? Stealing second base against Mariano Rivera in that playoffs. What's the Yankees' worst thing they do? Base running. They're terrible at base running. I mean, Aaron Judge hadn't given up an error all year. He picks that moment to have an error. I don't know what his problem is. He can't hit in the playoffs. I mean, I don't know. I mean, last couple games, all of a sudden he's on fire. Oh, he's back. Then he drops the ball when they're up 5-0. His first error of the season.
Like, to me, the Dodgers never stop tweaking. Never, they'll move on. A Kershaw thing. I mean, he'll be a mascot next year. He'll pitch
sure.
as much as he can pitch. Maybe he gets 100 innings and he can pitch in the postseason.
Right.
But they will move on.
Absolutely.
And they build depth. And you need to build a team that can score runs when you don't hit home runs.
Well, it's like
there's getting through the regular season, which ain't always easy.
Right.
Right. But in the playoffs, generally, there's not going to be three sluggers on a team who go with, you know, 7 home runs apiece and all hit 400.
Yeah.
It's the best of the best. And you got to grind it out, and freaking little things matter. And when your defense flops like that, I don't think the Yankees are built the right way. I love the way the Dodgers build their team. Now they have stars. Listen, Freddie Freeman, you know, behind Shohei Ohtani, but I'm not talking order, but in terms of like stardom,
right?
With Mookie Betts, we'll get to Juan Soto when he's going to put on the Dodger blue.
Yeah,
they build the team the right way. Essentially, I don't want the entire roster to be Tommy Edmonds. But I want a lot of the roster to be Tommy Edmonds.
Right.
Or, you know, Chris Taylor, who sucked this year, or Kike Hernandez, who sucked this year. Like, their utility guys were not good defensively. Okay. We're not good at the plate. So they were like, let's get more. But yeah. That's the way they're built, with stars, so that when it comes to – there is small ball in the playoffs. You have to play – and I'm not going to sit here, back in my day, the Cardinals. Like, I understand the home run is a big thing now, but an entire team of sluggers, you know, who run like Mike Stanton, or Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah.
They can go cold for, you know, a 5 or 7-game series, and then you got to have other guys who have some speed, who can, you know, hit the ball the other way. The Yankees are just not, even with all the money, I think Cashman, and maybe it's all Steinbrenner. I don't believe it is. I think Cashman has the cachet at this point to build the team that he could build, but he's insistent on kind of building it like they were in the 90s, and that doesn't work.
No.
And not every year.
No. And – you know, nobody's been harder on Cashman than me. I don't know how he still has a job after all. I mean, even if you just want to turn it over to have change, I mean, how long can a guy be general manager of the
same
team?
Great job. You have a lot of equity. You won championships.
Yes, I agree. But, you know, the same thing in NFL. If a team's penalized all the time and they do the stupid things wrong and they're always dropping snaps or they always do things at the wrong time, you start looking at the coach like, hey, how come this team can't base run? How come every time the situation, you know, situational baseball, they're terrible? I mean, Aaron Boone, you know, I think he's gone.
So you think that's going to be the repercussion out of this?
I think Aaron Boone's gone. I would like to say that Brian Cashman's going to be gone, but they're not going to do that. I don't see any evidence of him being on the hot seat. I haven't heard anybody say anything about him being on the hot seat. All I've heard is criticism of Aaron Boone.
I saw one tweet saying someone could make a legit 20-plus minute video of infield errors this season. Boone allowed blanky fundamentals and poor base running until it killed the team in the biggest moments. And no one feels for Yankee fans.
No one. No.
I saw one of the dudes who does Mad Dog Radio said, mental mistakes and awful defense, part of the team's identity all season, but the meltdown in the fifth was hard to comprehend even for them. Again, you know, he mentions the Judge drop, the Volpe error. It's going to haunt them forever. He says, pain doesn't even begin to describe it. Doesn't even begin to describe it.
I saw a guy on Barstool he has like this thing going where hating the Yankees as a team. So he's like, yeah, our dynasty continues. The Yankees lost again. You know what I mean? Yet another year. They don't
that
pop
actually
the champagne.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. Right? I mean, hey,
I
can't blame them.
I flipped on the 2009 World Series last night just to calm down a little bit. And then I was like, I don't want to watch this. So instead I was like, you know what? I want to watch a show in the 80s and some boobs. That'll cheer me up. I put on Too Close for Comfort, and I watched six straight episodes. You remember that show?
Oh, man,
1980, Ted Knight, you know, off of Mary Tyler Moore show. Now he's a dad, Henry. His wife, I mean, it was 80s hot, like 44, kind of milfy. But the two daughters, the one was Deborah Van Valkenburg, who was in The Warriors, right?
Okay.
And she's, you know, it's all types on the show, kind of flat-chested. And then Lydia Cornell, who was like 80s hot, like the feathered hair, nice cans, wearing the mini shorts.
Nice.
It's good. And I, you know what? Today I came in, I'm like, oh, World Series last night? What? I was like, Lydia Cornell.
I mean, again.
So that's what I did to relax. Did you do anything to take the edge off? Did you just go into bed and cry? What'd you do?
Well, I am a judge.
Go commit a crime?
No, I'd like to. I'm actually a judge for New Will Cannabis Cup this year.
Really?
Yeah, so I just did some testing out, some judging, and I felt a little bit better.
Yeah. Oh, did you try?
Yeah, I have to. I have to have it all done by the January 1st.
Is this a separate deal or is it a station deal?
No, it's a separate deal.
Yeah. It'd be cool if we had, like, random drug testing. Like, I never do it. I had to do it. I never do it.
It's part of my official judging capacity.
Yeah, so I'm not going to sit here and whine all day about the Yankees.
Yeah.
They have plenty of money. It's still an attractive place to go. Now, that said, Juan Soto did sit in the dugout.
Yes.
For a while. He was the last one. He was sitting in there. He's got free agency coming up. Smart guy. He took the risk. Played on his last year of the contract. Not that he was going to drop down to $14 million a year if he had a bad year. But he had a monster year. And now there should be 20 teams going after him. And, yes, I said 20, if not 28.
Right.
Because he's a program and organization changer. As he's sitting in the dugout, what's he thinking to himself?
Well, when they asked him what percentage, you know, the Yankees have an edge as far as signing him, he said 0%, and that whoever comes with the money is going to get him. So I think that's what he's thinking. And I saw this. There's a poll that ESPN did about, like, I think it was like 13 different execs or whatever about what he might get. The number was 13 years, $600 million. So I don't know. That doesn't sound like a new Steinbrenner move. It sounds like an old Steinbrenner move. So I don't even know if the Yankees have a shot at him. You said earlier the Dodgers probably will. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I'm not a giant fan of signing guys to super long-term deals.
Yeah, I'm not either. Especially in baseball.
Unless it's Ohtani, and I'm getting Japan with it, and I'm going to make all my money back and more.
Sure.
So he got 10 for 700. I can't guarantee it, but I think I feel like guaranteeing it. I don't think Juan Soto's doing the deferred money thing.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. So no. If you're paying, maybe like $100 million on the back end could be deferred, but whoever pays – he's going to have to pay all of it at that top rate. And like I said, there should be upwards of 20 teams involved. I want to get to the Dodgers plan and the Yankees plan moving forward. I want to talk more about the Dodgers and if this was the first real title in forever, because I don't get that whole thing. But the other question is, can the Dodgers be a dominant franchise, or has baseball actually ruined itself by being the most balanced sport in all of the major sports? It is! The most balanced sport in all of the sports. Anyone can win, except for John Fisher.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim on ESPN Las Vegas.
If you're not trick-or-treating, something cool to do downtown tonight. Rocky Horror Picture Show tonight, 7 o'clock, downtown Las Vegas Event Center. All ages welcome. You can see the original unedited movie. What's a live shadow cast? I don't know what that is. What is that?
I thought the Rocky Horror Picture Show was like interactive with the crowd. And
there you go. And audience participation. You nailed it.
Oh, okay.
You jumped the read before I could even get to it. And a costume contest.
Hey.
Tonight, 49th anniversary, next year, 50th. Downtown Las Vegas Event Center. Rocky Horror Picture Show. Let's do it. We're at Circa, right across the way. It's Cofield. It's Salerno. Off to a very surly... Not really. You know, it's... I don't know. I don't hate the Dodgers. I also live with a Dodger fan. So watching the whole series was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Because she's trying to be nice to me. It's like, it was really sort of condescending. She's like, I knew you wouldn't get swept.
Like patronizing.
I'm like, stop. Okay, you're right. It was patronizing. That's the correct word. Stop. Stop.
That's great.
And then, like, even her celebration was muted.
Right. Well, You know, it's funny because the Dodgers, to me, are kind of like the bigger rival than the Mets are because
– No.
To me, they are because when my dad was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan.
I don't know why I answered that for you. Go ahead.
My dad's a Brooklyn Dodgers fan, yeah. So as a kid, they were like the big rivalry in New York, and so all the older people I knew growing up were all like, you know, Yankees, Dodgers. I never heard about the Mets until – you know, early on, you know, when Buckner years or whatever.
I thought the Yankees-Mets series, and it's now 20, whatever, 4 years ago,
yeah,
was like the biggest baseball series of my life because had the Yankees lost that, that's yeah. That's forever.
Right. Yeah, totally.
The Mets pukes, you'd never hear about it. And, you know, obviously the Red Sox have kind of flipped it on the Yankees for much of this century.
Yeah.
The funny thing is the Red Sox, in a way, kind of gave up last year, and they're like, we'll build from within. It actually worked out. They had a pretty good season.
Yeah. Well, they've actually won, too, since.
And they've won titles. they got rid of their title, Schneid, big time, and then their owner pulled the plug and was like, we're not going to do the big money stuff anymore. And I'm not saying that's the way to do it, but you can do it. But you got to try around baseball. The Dodgers core is awesome.
It is.
And if they could ever get healthy in the starting pitching, they've got like 9-10 deep in starting pitching. They need every single guy every year. Can the Dodgers go on a run here? And I will count. I mean, it's a little far back, 2020 to 2024. Can they go on a run from 2024 to like 2030 and win three of these moving forward?
No, not because they're not good, just because it's baseball. I feel like there's just too much variable.
What do you mean?
Because the best team doesn't always win.
The evil umpires always win.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't.
I know, they don't. And the best team doesn't always win in baseball. A lot of times the worst team in the playoffs sometimes is the hottest team and wins in baseball. So, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean you're the best team if you win. This year it happened to be, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen next year, the year after that. I don't think they'll be back to the World Series next year. I think it'll be like a couple years, but I think they might win a couple, you know, in that time.
Plus, there are so many times you look at rosters in this century and you see all high payroll, and then you're like, who are they still paying?
Yeah, well, that too.
Why do they pay him that much? Like, there's so much pissed away money.
Yeah.
Now, the flip side is the mid-level clubs can go, hey, they can afford to do that.
Sure.
But that's also why the mid-level clubs shouldn't do it. I don't believe, for pitchers, I don't think anything over like a 3-year deal is smart for starting pitching.
Yeah.
Relievers, it's a 2-year deal. Hitters, max 4 years maybe. I wouldn't even give 5-year deals. And in the end, I think it probably works out for you because you don't get stuck in awful contracts. Now, the Dodgers can do that, but if you've – notice the Dodgers have gotten away from contracts. Like, were they the first one? I can't remember. Between the Red Sox, I think the Dodgers were the ones who signed Carl Crawford.
Yes,
which was like 10 homer, 60 steal guy. Right. Let's pay him top of baseball money. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
And even they've gotten, for the most part, away from that nonsense.
I don't think that works anymore, though. Like, if you want a big star now, you have to give him, like, 8-10. It seems like if you want a young star, they want to be locked up for, like, almost ever. So it's almost – I mean, if you give a guy – if you offer a guy 5-6 years good money, someone else is going to give him 8-10.
Yeah, but I think there's a middle class of baseball that the smart teams – and actually the good teams should be using that middle class as well.
Yeah.
Because it's not officially collusion, but there'll be guys who are signed. And then we saw it this year. Boris was driving a hard bargain for three different guys, and they wound up not getting outside of like a year and an option, and a couple of them did not work out. I mean,
well, there is like
Montgomery was a disaster in
there is like the current Celtics model and the 2004 Pistons model where you can get just a whole bunch of good guys and not have any stars, you know, and I think the Yankees could try that, but they're not going to – they can't do that in New York, and the Dodgers can't do that in L.A.
But I think you can. I don't – like Stanton needs to move on.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, he can't barely walk.
Right. You have to change up the team. And if that means eating some of the money, then you
you
move along. But to me, the balance of baseball is better than it's ever been. The Dodgers may, in the next 6 years, be able to win two. But I think three would be really hard. They might only win one. They might win none.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's baseball, so you just don't know. I think they'll be a better – in the regular season, they'll be one of the better teams in the NLL. But once you get to the playoffs, you have no idea what's going to happen.
We were talking about Soto and the kind of deal he can get.
Yeah.
That'll be impactful on the race because if the Dodgers step up, the Mets step up, you know, I don't know if the Phillies would. You know, the amazing one is San Francisco. They've offered people deals every year.
Right.
There's got to be something behind the scenes in baseball that someone could tell us where they're like, no one wants to go there for some reason.
Yeah.
They get snubbed. They're in. They're like the fourth team, second team, third team. They finish off just a bit on almost every big guy. They got to a point, remember a couple years ago, it's like, please, Carlos Correa, take our $275 million. And then I think they agreed to it. Then they got more information about his injury history, and they're like, oh, my God, we have to get out of this, please.
Why do you think that is? That seems that why players don't want to go there, though. Any particular reason?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I think behind the scenes, maybe there's some stories about poor treatment in the organization.
I guess. Yeah, players probably.
It's a dirty, dangerous city. It's not that. I don't think it's that.
Too much poop on the sidewalk.
Right? Like they're not going to live near the poop.
Yeah. No, I don't know. There's a lot of players that sign with teams where I'm like, why the hell are you going there? So well, I don't know why they wouldn't go to.
You suggested earlier that Soto might just land in like a Nationals type situation, like a team that can afford him but just hasn't tried for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was there already. Maybe he's fine with putting up his numbers and, you know, being on a 500 team.
It kind of sounds like that's what he wants. He wants to be the guy on the side of the building with the picture up, you know, like the chosen one picture or whatever, like LeBron and the Cavaliers. He wants to just be on a team and put up his numbers and get paid.
So. Mega fish in a small pond.
Right.
I'll give you teams odds-wise because the odds for the World Series next year are already out. I would bet down to, I'll go from the bottom of the list I pulled, which is about 14 teams. Brewers 45-1, Cardinals 40, Reds 40, Red Sox 40. Cubs may make an offer to Soto, but you know Ricketts, they want to keep their money. They're worth $25 billion. You can't.
That's so weird.
The Cubs
too.
Should come in and
such
blow
a big market.
Everyone away. They were close this year.
I know.
Kind of ran out of gas.
I know.
The Royals are 30, and this is not Soto odds. These are to win the World Series. Royals were close. Royals are kind of built the right way. They play the middle class market the right way. They have pitching, whether it was their pitching that developed or reclamation from other places, they've done it. The Tigers were close this year. The Guardians have the money.
Sure.
So if they want to go and spend a little bit. And I'm not talking about big free agent splashes, but this is a chance of the World Series.
Yeah.
D-backs obviously have a history, very recent, with World Series. They're 28. Mariners are 25. Twins are 25. And then from there you go. The top seven are Mets, Padres, Phillies, Astros, Orioles, Braves, Yankees, Dodgers. Dodgers favorite at plus 325. I would never bet that.
Can I give you a crazy take? Because this is
give me one.
I've been thinking about this for a while because I know that the White Sox might be for sale or people are talking about he might sell the team. If I was a billionaire and I wanted to get into baseball somehow, I'd grab up the White Sox in that market, make a splash with like a Soto type guy, go out and get a pitcher that's like similar, you know, that kind of thing.
Are you gonna reveal that you're doing it before you buy the team?
Mm.
Baseball's not gonna let you buy the team. You got to keep that under wraps.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
If they had known that Steve Cohen was like, this is cool. We have these guys who got bilked for all their money. The old Mets owners, idiots. So let's make sure they're set financially. Let's let this guy Steve Cohen in. And I'm sure, like 4 days in, they're like, what? He's going to spend his money?
Yeah.
That's not what we wanted.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I would totally lie then. I come out and be like, hey man, look, losing's not bad. I got no problem with losing. Just give me the baseball team. I want to go to a baseball game, get a hot dog, chill, you know, hang out. And then, bam, sign Soto the next day after they buy the team, after it's finalized.
But that would also mean Jerry Reinsdorf makes out like a bandit. I'm not sure I'm rooting for that.
Yeah, I'm just saying if I was the person with the money, you know. I'm not saying I'm rooting for it. Okay. But if I was a billionaire, then that's what I would
do. That's the way to get in?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to make money eventually.
Well, that's what I just don't understand how you could lose with that mark. I mean, you know, people talk all the time. You know, we don't have enough money in our market. This team, blah, blah, blah. It's not fair. I mean, you're Chicago. I don't understand how you can put together a good team.
Coming up, Xavier Pope's going to come in and answer a lot of our Halloween-related questions. I also want to find out from him. He's in Chicago. When you have L.A. and New York play in the World Series, does that mean it could be a good series? Was it a good series, even though it was 4-1?
Live from Stadium Swim, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
This series is probably my favorite group of movies around Halloween. Yeah. I don't think Mike Myers gets enough respect. But God,
really?
I freaking hated it. He would not die. And that's infuriating.
You don't like
unkillable.
You don't like that?
It was just frustrating.
You mean like watching the movie, like, oh man, just why would you die? That kind of thing.
Well, it's also that when you're, and I'm talking about being like a teen. When you're a teen, you're like root for the good people, and you're like, he's not dead.
Yes.
Stop relaxing.
Yes.
Like, he's always around the corner.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't know if it's OCD or whatever, but I always have a problem with continuity in movies. So if you're like, yeah, he's finally dead, then you have another movie, I'm like, right, I'm out.
No, they don't die.
I'm out.
None of them die.
It's like, come on.
I stopped rooting for the good guys in those movies just because they keep making the stupidest decisions, yeah. stupidest decisions in hiding, where to run, everything. Nah, after that point, it's like he can have them.
Yeah. Why is this doorknob 700 degrees? Why is there blood on the walls? Let's go inside and look.
Speaking of dying, I'm trying to have a lot of my yard die.
Yeah.
The trees. I like one of them. I don't like the other. And then you send her a story, and it's like, hey, trees are good for the desert. I'm like, wait, I thought we were supposed to go to desert landscaping. I'm confused.
Save your trees. I didn't know this, but this is interesting to me. Apparently, trees make the entire neighborhood cooler. Now, the more trees you have, the cooler it will be. Now, in my head, I was thinking, oh, it must be just shade or something. That's not the case. The trees somehow absorb the heat, and I think it's a lot of what is that stuff that warms the earth? You know, the carbon monoxide, whatever that
old
is.
Old lava.
Yeah, whatever. But it eats a lot of that, and it spits out oxygen and all that stuff, and it just, I don't know, somehow cools the planet. They said if you have a bunch of trees in an area, even in the desert especially, it could cool it by 6 degrees in that area.
Water?
That's a lot.
Water?
I don't know.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, keep the trees. Save water. Can we do both?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I'm sure
well, I can get rid of these stupid golf courses.
They kind of are.
You know? What do you need a golf course for?
But then they take away. Isn't there a song about this? Like a parking lot and whatever?
I don't know. Maybe.
A garden parking lot? I don't know. Whatever it was. I feel like then building houses on the golf course is not good. Don't golf courses have trees?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You want them? You want golf courses closed, but just plant all trees on the fairways?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Take away the golf course and just use that water. The same watering system's already there. Get the golf course out of there, just put trees there, and then, you know, when it's 120, it'll be 115 at my remote instead.
Do you have any other outlet to talk about this?
You mean like?
I feel like I'm interested in when you sent over these stories, but I also feel like you're really yearning for a show about.
Well, it used to be my morning show, so I don't do that anymore.
Is there a reason that used to be your morning show?
Let's just say that, you know, sometimes you go on to new experiences in life.
Yes. But you don't do this. By the way, I don't even know the name of your Wednesday show now because you don't debate.
The arena? We just debated yesterday.
But it's like sporadic now.
Well, we have like, you know.
Went away from the formula of yelling
like,
all the time.
No, it's not true. Once a month we have like a regular show because I get, you know, I want to break it up a little bit so it's not just yelling the whole time. We just talk. You know, it's only once in a while, like once a month.
Our friend Michael Felder from Learfield, who's on with us on Thursdays or Fridays, will be on tomorrow.
Yeah.
He does a football and gardening. Let me say it again. Football and gardening podcast.
But what does that mean?
He talks about the outdoors and gardening and trees.
But, I mean, does he combine them?
Yes.
So is he talking about, like, the different field turfs and stuff like that?
I don't know.
Oh, wow. Is he a botanist?
He's a yard guy. I don't think he's a botanist. He's more of a chef. He's one of our chefs.
Oh, okay.
He's in our chef rankings. Maybe gotcha. That's a show for you. I'm not kicking you off the show. And I find this tree thing fascinating.
Hey,
but I also try not to wade into deep waters where there is, as you said, a botanist. Or what is it? Horticulturalist.
Yeah. Which
where
I don't
they're
even
like,
know what that is.
They're driving around like, these guys are stupid.
What's the difference
I know more about football than them and my expertise.
What's the difference between a botanist and a horticulturist?
I don't know. We're going to look it up during the break, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little worried now. I think we flashed some poor knowledge. But now I keep the trees.
Keep the trees.
They're looking pretty crusty. They're struggling.
Well, I'll tell you what. Palm trees don't need a lot of water. I don't know if palm trees count.
Seeing that.
But they don't need a lot of water.
They need some.
A tiny bit. But I've had some that I didn't water for like almost a year, and they were fine.
Circa. Stadium Swim. I'm going to roll through my very stringent rules for trick-or-treating and handing out candy. Kids, you better be ready.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
I'm just thinking. I got some tweets to get to in a couple minutes. It's making me think a little bit. Might be funny, might be more. But before that, let's continue the Halloween celebration, the theme. Xavier Pope in Chicago is with us. Just, what are we, 5 days before the election? That's going to be fun on Tuesday. We'll be out doing a live show on Tuesday.
Yeah, hello?
I think Cofield's mic's out. What's up, Xavier? How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Are you handing out candy tonight?
Actually, I am. I'm actually about to teach a hot yoga class after this. So I'm hosting. I'm grabbing some. I'm literally in Target right now getting candy. And I also have edibles for students too. So you know, all types of candies.
No edibles for the kids?
No. Okay. But no for the adults.
All right. Okay. What's your candy choice? I had someone busting my horns earlier today that they were going to hand out the full bars of candy, and I'm like, you know, listen here. I'm not Rockefeller. I'm not spending that much money on kids I don't know.
Well, especially now, that's like $70 a bag.
Yeah.
It's one day out of the year, though, Steve. Don't be a cheapie.
Okay, we got a bunch of issues to get into here. First of all, when I hand out candy, anyone over 6 feet tall, you're not getting candy.
Whoa.
So if you're an overgrown kid, like the whole Hill family.
I'm a tall kid, Steve.
Why are you? Because the whole Hill family, and Adam's not here today, but all the boys were like 6'2 by the time they were 12. I would just have to snub them. I'm not putting candy in a shopping bag. If you walk up with your local grocery bag, make an effort. Everyone's got a pillowcase, something. Give me something. I have kids come up with backpacks. I'm like, okay, that was innovative. No grocery store bags.
What about a shoe?
What about kids who don't have the money to buy an extra bag, see? I have to have a heart on Halloween. I know it's not Christmas, but
yeah.
Okay,
here's the toughest one. If your kids are 3 and up, if they can't say trick or treat, they don't get candy.
Wow. Steve is like the Scrooge of Halloween.
I know. Well, because the thing is, I'm so festive and like anti-Scrooge. I love Christmas. Like, I will tell you right now, I was driving over to the show today. I was thinking tonight after 11 o'clock, which Christmas Thanksgiving decorations will I put up to start the build? I will be putting stuff up tonight.
As someone whose birthday is the day after Christmas, I have a personal thing against people celebrating it too early. Take a couple of days, maybe get it to Thanksgiving. Give Halloween a chance to breathe a little bit before you put on some extra decorations.
What if I put up birthday signs and they get to stay up for 7 weeks for leading into your birthday? Like one birthday.
Okay, that's perfect. Okay. Now it's all about me now. Then
Exactly. Xavier Pope is with us. Okay, last Halloween issue. Now, in truth, I will not be handing out Halloween candy tonight. In spite of my rules, I'm not going to get home in time. So my girlfriend decided, hey, you know what? She's going to go over to someone else's house, hand out candy there. But she was like, oh, we have to have candy, though. She is a proponent of the put out the bowl of candy and use the honor system. The kids will take one apiece. Do you buy this one?
I don't buy it at all. They're kids. Kids love candy. Kids will take as much candy as the child hand would allow. And so I know all the houses that tried to do that when we were kids. They ran out of candy very fast because kids just keep, it was a free for all.
And I'll make the argument that I think we were better kids. I think more kids in my era would have been into the honor system, or maybe I hung around good kids. But I think this is the one time I will crack on this era.
I don't think so. I think
really?
It's the opposite. Yeah.
You think they're more honorable now?
Absolutely.
What do you think?
I think kids have loved candy since the beginning of time, and they're
so nothing changed.
And candy is Thanos to kids.
I can buy that. It's gonna be a disaster. What I would have liked to have seen is we make it like an Easter egg hunt, and we just have an empty bowl and go. There's candy all over the yard. You just gotta look.
What is this, Squid Games now?
Yes. Well, I also feel like I would have been in for a lawsuit because we basically have like little rocks, all like a little and big rocks, so kids would be turning ankles going down.
Yeah. Plus, you have a Ring doorbell probably. It's going to be all on video.
Release the video. Sorry.
Did you see this report about how Nerf gummy clusters are like now, like this, kids are obsessed with them?
Really?
They did research. Yeah, like I just saw the report. Now I'm in Target. The whole aisle is full of this stuff, man. It's like the trolls of candy now. It's insane. It's like this place is like a whole aisle of it right now.
Can I make this argument? And I said earlier we're not doing Halloween candy discussions, like what's good, what's not, because that's literally radio. But because of what I thought about it, I think it's creative. Am I out of line if I say I think the gummy world of candies is actually better than the chocolate world of candies?
I completely 1,000% agree. I'm totally obsessed with it. There's so many different varieties and ways you can get it You can get it with a Hawaiian tasting. You can get it. You can even get it sour if you'd like. You can get it shaped in a circle. You can get it shaped and taste like a fruit. It is the best.
Don't make that face, Greg.
Yeah, I'm a chocolate. Right. I'm a chocoholic, man. I'll take any kind of chocolate. Well, besides dark chocolate. I'm not 80 years old, but anything else, milk chocolate, I'm in.
Wait, I don't know about this dark chocolate.
What? Oh, yeah, once you turn 80, dark chocolate tastes good, apparently.
Xavier, you're younger than me.
Popcorn. What about popcorn balls, though, Steve? I mean, some places gave it out. I loved it as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely obsessed with them.
I mean, nightmare.
Now it's kettle corn now, but some people gave out raisins, though, Steve.
That's one of the worst. You deserve. Yeah, that's terrible.
That's just being mean.
Well, I know it is, right?
Yeah.
Like at least the gummies are sweet, or they're sour or something. To it. Raisins. Get out of here. The World Series is over. We're both Yankee fans. You're in Chicago. I'll say I thought the World Series was a good World Series, but I also don't hate the Dodgers. I think Greg hates the Dodgers more than I do. How about you in the Midwest? Did you enjoy this World Series, even though it didn't go 6 or 7?
I think it was enjoyable in terms of it's going to be remembered for the last game and how the Yankees just totally blew a 5-0 lead at home. Their biggest star is making some of the biggest boneheaded mistakes you've ever seen in a regular season baseball game, let alone in one inning in the biggest stage. It's going to sting that franchise for a while. So it was entertaining to watch, but I just wished it went longer.
Talking to Xavier Pope on this beautiful Halloween evening. What do you think the biggest reason was? Because we were talking about this a little bit earlier. You know, the Yankees, if you look at their lineups, they're both good. The team construction, I mean, a little bit different. But how do you explain the Yankees in that one inning? You know, I mean, everything that went wrong. Is it, are they just a worse team, a situational baseball? What is it?
I think it was just something that just happened. I think, sometimes weird things happen in playoffs. But I also think it may have been some weird mojo from the fan grabbing the glove. You know?
Yeah.
Even the fans in New York said, oh, crap, we're screwed. Even New York doesn't do that. They didn't have any confidence in their team. And when you saw that team, I mean, it was literally like, oh, wow, this is – I mean, they were talking about Bartman when it happened. And then, like, Bartman-like things happened to the Yankees in that game.
Yeah, no, 100%. Exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, I think it has bad mojo, man. Halloween came and it got spooky on the Yankees, man.
I didn't get to ask either one of you guys because I haven't talked to either one of you until today. EP's with us, Xavier Pope, and Greg's here. First for Xavier, how do you react to people who said, you know what, charge those guys. They could have injured that baseball player. Charge them.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with catching a baseball. That's criminal assault. I mean, it's different that he just grabbed the glove. He grabbed his arm, grabbed his wrist. I mean, that could have impacted his career. So I have no problem if you act outside the scope of trying to catch a ball, that you should get arrested.
What do you think? Should the fans have?
Well, I'll tell you what, as a Yankees fan, I'm kind of surprised. I mean, I don't, as far as assault, I don't know. I mean, because in the stands, lots of things happen. I've seen it happen in sports a lot. I'm not 100% sure if they should get assault, but it wouldn't surprise me. But I was really surprised at how they were cheered by some of the media, like brought on as heroes on these podcasts and cheered. And I mean, as a Yankees fan, it was kind of embarrassing. I'm like, I don't know, man.
Hey, Xavier, you think that's crossing ethical? I don't even know if ethical is the right word, but is it crossing into a dark area that maybe we don't want to when you're glorifying fans who are acting like jackasses just so that you can get the clicks?
Yeah, you know, but if there have been even things that go viral all the time, you saw that, it was a couple seasons ago, the Suns and Four, there was a fight, and then I went viral, that guy gets famous, right? And he's literally beating up another person. And so we don't want to encourage that, especially in a time where we have political violence going on. We don't want that to expand on into sports violence, social violence. And so that's something to not be encouraged in professional sports.
The election's on the way. Do you feel like the NBA has been as involved out front, as active as it's been in the past when it comes to presidential elections?
Well, you have eight arenas that are going to be polling places or places for draw boxes. So I think the NBA has been active in terms of some of the organizational aspect of its sport, but I don't necessarily think it has been as front and center as, say, in 2020. But then you also had some other events that happened in terms of police misconduct that happened and that involved City of Milwaukee and those players stepping up and LeBron James and the different players deciding not to play until there was different measures made. And so I think that the NBA has just been more proactive about it, per se, and making it part of how they do business, as opposed to something that they were forced to do when something happened, some big news happened.
This might be one of those questions where you're like, duh, but I saw today LeBron came out and endorsed Kamala Harris. A lot of the NFL owners and a lot of the NBA owners have given money to the, you know, to the other side. Is there a disconnect between the players and the owners here?
Absolutely, disconnect. You have, you know, many players that are seeking to advance their families, their communities, and want to be able to make a difference, and then they're having to play for people who hate the people that they look like. I think that it's a terrible disconnect in terms of sports, and I think that players should actively call out owners of the sport instead of just speaking against the politics that they represent.
Last one. This is where it gets confusing. What is the line? I'll give you an example. Well, I don't even know where LeBron gave the endorsement online.
It was on Twitter today. I mean, he might have done it somewhere else,
so,
too.
So if he gives it on Twitter. Instead, he decides, you know what? Post-game interview coming up, I'm going to give the endorsement. Does the NBA fine him like people want the NFL to go after Nick Bosa for his MAGA hat?
I don't think it happens. I just think it's a different type of a league. There's maybe a conversation that's had. And LeBron wouldn't do that, though, by the way. He's just a much more astute athlete in terms of his image and how he presents himself to just willingly do something like that. But that's something that would be a discussion. I don't think it would be a situation where he would get trouble for it, especially being the biggest athlete in the sport. I think it would just be a conversation. I don't think he'd be fined or anything happens in relation to it.
Would you be cool if Bosa was fined by the NFL for wearing a MAGA hat and a post-game situation on the field? Because I would not. Again, I think the NFL needs to keep its grubby paws off of a lot of stuff that happens around this league.
Well, when the anthem policy came out and some of the policy in regards to political speech, Steve, it's not just in the confines of the game starts and then it's down zeros on the clock. It was 90 minutes before the game, and I think it's 90 minutes after the game. So that includes pre and post. And so if you are in conducting those activities, you still are representing the game that happened on the field. That's why the attention, that's why the media is there, that's why the fans are there, that's why everything is around that particular game, and that's why there's responsibility just immediately before and immediately after a game.
Xavier, great spot. Love you. Be careful handing out the candy. Kids are rough today.
Hey, love you guys.
Take care, man.
Some tough kids out there. They come up with a Smith's bag or a backpack. I'm like, what do I do here? Do I challenge them? I'm telling you, this bowl of candy in front of my house is going to turn into a disaster. I think the house is going to get vandalized.
I don't know, man.
All the candy's going to be taken. Other kids are going to get suckered to walking up, and they're like, empty bowl? Where are they? Bang, 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 bang. What the hell's going on? Climbing the fence.
Yeah, but
breaking windows.
I hate being the back-in-the-day guy, but I'm going to be that guy for just a minute.
On the other side. That's when we have a minute.
Okay.